And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
On the beach, the only place to read your emails and your tweets. It's Wednesday, February 17th. Hashtag full squad here with the No Dunks crew. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, Mr. What You Need to Know, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got the Bassmaster, ripping him lips, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Hey, you. Yo. The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
And last, certainly not least, making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Shout out to the stream team. Joining us live right now on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe, and share. Friendly reminder, if you haven't already done so, check out Tassie's What You Need to Know series. An excellent little bite-sized NBA recaps posted early in the morning, Monday through Friday. Check those out. Also check out Trey's hilarious 7 days in the NBA recap. New one went up yesterday.
That's
usually
right.
Posted on Tuesday night. Go check that one out. Obviously, hopefully you're listening or joining us live in the stream team for the No Dunks Daily podcast. We talked Harden and Zion and Lillard on today's show. And yesterday, I said this on the Daily Show, new Top Shot Hot Boys. I'm not sure if Tass, Lee, I guess JD, you had to watch it because you were there.
Ooh,
TK and
yeah.
I, we popped some cool cat specs, got ourselves a Randall and a Cousins. A lot of fun, and people seem to get a kick out of it, so go check that out. That one's only on YouTube, the Top Shot Hot Boys with, what do we call you, Top Shot Trey, and I'm Showcase Skeets.
That's right, baby. Big packs only. Don't worry, guys. You can show up and be hot boys as well. Money Mellis, limited edition Ellis, Jumpin' JD. Come on, there's news for everybody.
That's just great. Can't get over the fact it looks like you're opening a pack of condoms. It
yes,
just looks like
yes.
That.
Yes, we obviously open those packs and then we have sex with each other with our Randalls and our Cousins. That's what everybody does. Finally, tomorrow night, Thursday night, join us for another NBA happy hour. We're going to fire up the stream around halftime of the Raptors-Bucks game. So make sure you join us then. I think they're announcing the starters for the All-Star game. Yeah, I think that happens tomorrow night. Can I remember? Do they do that pregame? Do they do it at half?
No, yeah, pregame. Usually it's an
pregame.
Early, yeah. Usually
yeah,
it's an
okay.
Earlier tip-off, maybe.
So
or
we'll have that. Wow, we might actually talk a little basketball during
wow.
NBA happy hour. You never know. Crazy things have happened.
They actually haven't announced the All-Star game and what's happening, but they're going to announce the starters. Okay.
I guess so. Yeah.
Crazy yep. Stuff.
Crazy times. Okay, so yeah, that's all of the stuff you need to go back and watch and listen to and get excited about as we move forward here. But today, beach stepping on the beach, answering your questions. Tass, get us started.
Here we go. You guys are great sending in the emails. First one, hey, sports fans, animal lovers, and compost enthusiasts. Yeah, that's right. With the high level that LeBron continues to play at and the inevitable arrival of Bronny James into the NBA, what would you prefer? LeBron and his son being teammates, or LeBron and Bronny playing against each other 2 to 4 times over the course of a season. Keep on trucking. That's from Nathan in Sunbury, Australia.
Nice.
Wow.
Shout out to Nate.
Yeah.
Do you know him, Lee? You remember
I do.
Him?
I do know Nathan.
Know
yeah, we used to play cricket together, and we battled on the basketball court a few times. Nathan's a pretty good player. Pretty
yes.
Good player.
Wow. Nice.
I definitely thought that was a setup for a joke, Lee. I didn't think that you knew Nathan. Hey, Lee, you know Nathan in Sunbury? Yep, pretty well.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Yeah, all big right. Nate.
Oh, big Nath. That's what you call him.
Nath.
Not Nathy. Interesting. Well, I'll answer this first, because I'd actually never thought about this. We have talked numerous times about Bronny James is coming to the NBA, and he is going to play on the same team as LeBron James. Like, we locked that in like 2 or 3 years ago, I think, here on the show. So I'm still on board with that. But I actually hadn't taken a step back and went, would it be more enjoyable to see them go head-to-head. You know, get a couple moments there where they are out on the perimeter and they're sizing each other up, or maybe Bronny dunks on them or something like that, which is really exciting, too. So I'm sort of torn. I don't know how to answer this. I think them being on the same team is inevitable. I think it truly does happen. But I'm not against this idea, Trey, of them going one-on-one. Maybe we just get both. I don't know which order you'd prefer it, but nice thinking here, Big Nathy in Sunbury. I like this. I'm not against seeing them match up against each other, who can get the best of each other, despite LeBron obviously being a little older, much older, 20 years plus than his son. What do you think?
I'd love to see them both as well, but we gotta see him on the same team. Everybody remembers Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. playing together on the Mariners. Iconic pictures. Did they face each other otherwise? I don't know. I can't track it down. It seems that interleague play wasn't a thing yet, so the Reds and the Mariners never squared off. They didn't make it to the World Series together, but that would be awesome to see too. Because remember, we watched Dwayne Wade and his son playing one-on-one this year. And Dwayne was just talking shit to Zaire, telling him, you're too small. How great would that be to see on an NBA basketball court, LeBron just belittling his little son? That would be great. But as long as they are on the same court, it's going to be awesome to see happen, whether it be against each other, whether it be on the same team. But I imagine it will be on the same team.
What do you think, Lee?
Yeah, well, I was fortunate to play with my dad in the same team. I know Trey did as well. I played with my two brothers as well. It is so much fun playing with, like, your parents or your brothers just on the, in a game. So I want to see them together, because also as well, I would like to see someone, you know, like a veteran guy, maybe post up Bronny Jr. and take him inside and score it, and then just watch the revenge from dad coming out there on the court, you know, dunking on him or blocking him or doing something, because I think that's what you would see. You know, I think people would be like, listen, LeBron, he was too good for us, but we're going to take it out a little bit on Bronny Jr. while we can. But then the big lion comes back and he gets him back. So it would be good. But having said that as well, I mean, wouldn't it be awesome to see just Bronny Jr. with the game on the line? Dad comes out to pick him up one-on-one and Bronny Jr. breaks his ankle or something like that, you know, knocks one down and talks a little trash to his pops.
That'd be awesome.
Come on, pops, you're done. Your time's up. This is my game now. This is my league.
You know, Bronny is probably collecting those Top Shot moments right now, too. You guys got to get on the Bronny James Top Shot. His first one, whatever
It is. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even exist yet. Yeah. All right.
Well, who knows? Maybe they're going to do high school moments soon.
Jeez, I hope not.
Sierra High School, whatever this high school is called there in California. Get on it, guys. Get on it. I'm with Lee on the latter part there. I went back and forth on this one.
Yeah.
Thinking, yeah, maybe we want some Griffey moments. Yeah, they played in the same outfield together. Wasn't that fun? I think they hit. Yeah, I see.
Was it really that fun?
That's why,
so much fun. Yeah. They both caught fly balls, maybe.
I know. I'm being sarcastic. It wasn't that fun. That's the whole thing. Like, yeah, I think they hit back-to-back jacks.
They did.
One. Yeah, see.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool. Hey, listen, it's cool. Yeah, a man who's 40-plus playing in MLB baseball, I mean, that's... That happens a heck of a lot more than a man who's 40-plus playing in the NBA. So this is amazing that LeBron James is going to be able to do it. There's just no doubt that he will be able to do it. But, yeah, the moments, the singular moments, if there's going to be a Top Shot moment, it's going to happen when those two are playing against each other. Mm-hmm. Like those are the more exciting moments. But, you know, I went back and forth. Like, maybe LeBron is sitting that one time that they play each other. Like, they don't play each other that many times if they're in opposing conferences, especially. So I'd rather that, though. I think you'd get just maybe a more special moment if they're playing oppose each other. But, you know, an alley-oop from each other, that'd be pretty friggin' cool too. But one time head-to-head, I'd rather see that than 82 games with each other. But it's freaking nuts that we're talking about a man playing with his son. It's just bonkers. It's just bonkers.
I want to go back to the Ellis clan. Did you all? Did you ever have all four of you out there on the court at the same time? You and your two brothers and Dickie running the point?
I'm not sure if we had all four of us. We definitely had the all three combinations at once, but don't think we had all four of us one time. But
really?
Who was
coaching this team? Come on.
Ah, we were all coaches. No, that
why would relax, make that Kyrie Irving.
Well, just because of the ages. Like, by the time I started playing, you know, men's league, I was like 13, I guess, and my older brother was like 17. So he'd sort of moved on from
because it was a lower level men's league too. It was older men. It wasn't okay. Like a sort of, you know, the top grade level. It was like a C grade level.
Okay.
So he kind of moved on, my older brother. So I don't think he ever played. He started out. But one time, my dad took a charge on this guy. You know, legit charge.
Yep.
Yeah, and the guy didn't like it, and he threw a punch and connected. And my middle brother, he jumped in and started throwing punches at the other guy.
you're like a weird basketball version of the Hansen brothers, man. Slap shot.
No, but this guy...
fucking machine took my quarter, man.
Well, this guy, the one who threw the punch at my dad, like, he was in the wrong because it was like, he just got upset because he was given an offensive foul. And so he threw a punch when dad wasn't looking, connected. Oh, and then my other brother jumped in and he ended up getting suspended.
Yeah, wow.
So, yeah.
I can't believe we never had all four of you out there at the same time, though. That's almost disappointing to me.
So, yeah. Maybe, but I doubt it. I doubt it. Just because of the ages we moved
Maybe on. We can ask Nathan. He probably knows.
Maybe he was the fifth. Yeah. Big Nathan in the post, eh? Yeah. With all the Ellis.
Yeah, yeah. We won the championship a couple of times, though, on Dad's team, so that was great.
Sure. Damn, bro. What's Dickie's game like? I hear you're talking about him taking charges. You're obviously a sharpshooter. Surely he passed the genes down, much like Dell did to Steph and Seth.
Yeah, Dad can shoot. He spread the floor a little bit. Pretty sure I've never seen him miss a free throw, to be honest with you. But he's got a unique style. He's almost got the Pau Gasol style at the free throw line. You know how he just gets that one hand and just pushes through, mm-hmm. knocks him in. But he'd be well into the 90% range of his free throws made for sure.
Wow. So and like was he more of a shooter or a playmaker? If you had to pick.
A shooter, I'd say. Yeah, okay. A shooter. Wow. Yeah.
All the Ellis brothers. That's why you couldn't play all four of you at the same time. It's only one ball to go around. Yep.
My middle brother wasn't really a great shooter, to be honest. He was more the footballer, the Aussie rules footballer who was playing basketball. So it was a bit rough and tumble when he was out there.
Need an enforcer.
Oh my god, is there footage? I mean, you have video or photos, I should say, of every moment you've ever had in your life. Tell me there's video footage of you like and your brothers playing with Dickie.
There's no video footage in the late 80s, early 90s. We didn't have the camcorders up at the game like recording. We should have. Would have been great to watch back now, but
so good.
There's probably a photo there somewhere. I'll see if I can dig one out.
All right, great. Man, he's retired though from the game, right, Dickie?
He retired, yes. I think he retired at 50, but not bad. a lot of championships up in the Ellis household.
Jesus.
And he waited till his youngest was old enough to play with him in a league. You gotta love it.
It was so much fun. But Trey, you and Stevie, you played together.
Sounds like your dad is good, but my dad could beat your dad. So. Sorry, buddy.
Stevie versus Dickie. Oh, man. I would pay good money to watch that. I'm not kidding. Yeah, okay. So, yeah.
Just two old guys flopping the entire time. That's one of the main things my dad taught me was how to take a charge. Every dad passes it down. I don't know why.
Amazing. What a start here to the Beach Steppin' podcast. Okay, next one. We know Lee loves a beautiful shooter of the basketball. See Klay Thompson or Dickie Ellis, I added that, and an incredible passer of the basketball, see Draymond Green. But who's a wonderful rebounder of the basketball? Turn down, love your thighs, aw yeah. That's from Rob. So Trey, why don't you answer this one because you're the big beef, man. You've been watching a million rebound highlights. Who's a beautiful rebounder, a wonderful rebounder?
A wonderful rebounder. Well, let me take you to the meat market, Skeets. It's time for a beef watch. We got 11 big beefs so far this season. 3 for Andre Drummond, 2 now for Enes Kanter, and 1 each for Steven Adams, Clint Capella, Rudy Gobert, Nikola Jokic, DeMontis Sabonis, and Jonas Valanciunas. Shout out to the international big men. Those guys are eating beef. Personal favorites for me, Rudy Gobert, a very stylish rebounder. He's got a lot of the Rodman to him, like grabbing the ball from way far, snapping it to his hands. He does a fancy pass once he gets it done. Also really like Steven Adams' beef. He's got a scrappy beef. He had his 20 rebounds. He's diving on the floor for every single one. He's just smashing his body into people. I think he had 4 points that game, but had a huge impact on actually winning because he was all over the place on the glass. But once you're watching these rebound highlights, you do see that everybody's kind of got their own style to it. You know, I end up watching 20 rebounds probably 4 times through, just separating out, figuring out which ones are the good ones, blah, blah, blah. You notice the differences, but there is a simple qualification to be a true wonder of rebounding. You need to lead the league in rebounding more than twice, more than 2 times. It's happened 7 total times, you know. There are 7 guys who have done it, and they're all legendary players, especially rebounders. Wilt Chamberlain, He did it 11 times. The best rebounder in basketball history. Duh. 55 rebound game. That's a record. That's a vintage beef candidate. There's an iconic picture of him rebounding with, like, the ball sort of at his waist and his legs are sticking out completely sideways. Awesome. Dennis Rodman is the next name on the list. He led the league in rebounding 7 times. He is the NBA rebounder because that's what he did. He made rebounding cool, snapping the boards, legs sticking out. He had a 7 crown on his shoe because he led it 7 times in a row. Dennis Rebound. Dennis Rebound. Might as well just call him that. Love it.
Yeah.
Up next on our list, Moses Malone. He led the league in rebounding 6 times. If you're playing pickup basketball and you miss 2 layups like Lee Ellis, don't call me Dickie Ellis, but you put it back in, people are yelling, Moses Malone!
Yep, yep.
That's what people know. If people know you as an incredible offensive rebounder, you're a legend. A wonderful rebounder of the game. Dwight Howard led the league in rebounding 5 times. I think that kind of goes unnoticed because we just assume he was, you know, maybe the best center of his generation at the time. Certainly the best defensive center, but that gets lost because you kind of forget that rebounding is a huge part of defense. The possession doesn't end until you grab that board. Up next, Kevin Garnett, of the Timberwolves back in the day. He led 4 times. You don't think of Kevin Garnett
as
a great rebounder, but he led 4 times. I think it was 4 years in a row. And I love his rebounding highlights. Like, if you just said to me, if you're just striking up a casual conversation with me about rebounding, you said, hey, all time, who's your favorite rebound highlights? And I said, you know, Dennis Rodman, number 1.
Yeah.
Number 2, KG, because he would have some that it's like a tip dunk, and he brings the ball back down to his waist and dunks it. Hmm. Incredible stuff. But his less notable rebound highlights, it looks to me like he's reaching in the back seat to grab something in the car, but he doesn't want to turn around, but somehow snaps the ball back. He's got so many of these. I remember he was even having them with the Nets, and that was like end of the year, end of his career, Kevin Garnett. Bill Russell, another vintage beef candidate, led the league in rebounding 4 times, 40 rebounds in a game 7 of the finals. That's a championship beef. Another vintage beef candidate.
God, and the last guy. Some bricks in that game, I tell you.
Oh my goodness. 30 points, 40 boards. Are you kidding me? Basketball. Back in my day, it was so cool. Think about the rebound highlights we could have had back then. Oh, I am not looking forward, honestly, to watching 60-year-old rebounding highlights where there's one tall guy, literally guy who can jump. Very funny. But our final wondrous rebounder, Andre Drummond. He's led the league in rebounding 4 times. He's the reigning beef king, but Clint Capella might get him this year. I think Clint Capella is actually leading the league in rebounding right now, and it's basically because, if you remember when we had his beef not too long ago, I said this was a sloppy beef. This guy just keeps tapping the ball at the rim. He keeps missing his own offensive putbacks, and he is ahead of Andre Drummond on offensive rebounding percentage, and that is really the difference between these two. Clint Capella slapping the ball off the glass to himself. He might break the streak for Andre Drummond, but he's going to have to do it another 3 times if he wants to be a wondrous rebounder of the basketball.
Now, are you going to count bestow the rebound king, the big beef king, on the guy with the most total rebounds in the season or rebounds per game? Because Drummond's in a bit of trouble right now if he's sitting all these games.
Total rebounds, I mean,
rebounds per game, man. Role player game.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good to me. That's tough. Yeah. Oof, that's a tough one. Plus, I also kind of want the beef king to be whoever has the most 20 rebound games.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's true.
Rebound games. But I'm deep in the rebounds now. I can't stop. I can't stop caring about rebounds.
Oh my God. I mean, you just went a good, really solid 5 minutes just talking straight rebounds. I have nothing to add. I mean, you're the expert. Lee, is there anyone that you would throw in the mix as a wonderful rebounder that Trey didn't mention there?
Well, a fun rebounder to watch is Carlos Boozer when he would out-rebound nobody and he'd grab that ball as if he was out-muscling 4 other guys. He'd kick his leg out. I got that, Joe! You know,
I guess Melo's doing his thing too.
Yeah, Melo's still doing it. Yeah. I mean, actually, speaking of Noah, Noah was a pretty aggressive rebounder. He used to go and get the ball and hold on to it pretty tightly. But
Kevin Garnett was his favorite player. Not a surprise. The one guy I did not like to cut off from the list because of my qualifications. You got to lead the league more than twice. Ben Wallace.
He only
led the league in rebounding 2 times. Seems like one of the all-time great rebounders to me, and he was, but he was playing at the same time as Kevin Garnett, Dwight Howard, guys who are also wonderful rebounders of the basketball.
There you go. So Shaq never led the league in rebounding, did he? Did he do it once, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah, but not more, obviously.
What about Elton Brand? He was a pretty good rebounder, too, for a sort of... What about this guy?
Hey, what about this guy? Oh, let's play that, sure.
I can't... next evolution of this is guys who just box out and don't get the rebound.
Oh, the Lopez. But
sacrifice themselves for somebody else. So that's the ultimate rebounder. A guy who actually, I guess it's a rebound if it'll hit the floor and go to them, but they don't have to even move. Mm. They just box that guy out so hard that no one could get to it other than them. That's a rebound. That's a real rebound.
That's a real man's rebound. That's a real man's beef. I keep thinking of Josh Hart nearly tasting that beef this year with the, what was it, 17 I think he got to?
Doncic got one in the bubble, didn't he? I think he had like a 40-20-10 game.
That does sound right, yeah. I mean, yeah, Doncic is like, it's just like more... likely. I mean, just the numbers the guy puts up. Josh Hart getting 20 rebounds in a game. Are you kidding me? Or nearly 20 rebounds?
Well, let's play that game then. The young, unlikely guy to score 50. Who's the most unlikely to grab 20 rebounds?
Campazzo. He's scrappy. He could maybe do it. All right. Anyone to add to that incredible list there, Tess, that you love to watch rebound?
Robin Lopez. I mean, there's some good ones here. In the chat, actually.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Sep B writes, Steven Adams was the guy who literally boxed out every single possession while Russell Westbrook went and grabbed those rebounds. His MVP year, the triple-double. That's a very good point. King of the box out, Mr. Steven Adams. Now he's the king of the rebounds. So good for him. All right, let's move on.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks. Hey there, fellas. I was thinking of getting a Carhartt NBA hat, but I just don't feel right wearing Carhartt merch when I am far from being a blue-collar worker. Carhartt just feels like the type of thing you have to earn, not buy. I'm with you. What's something you want to buy but feel like you haven't earned? For me, it's giveaway items at sporting events. Sure, I could buy it online, but there's something special about showing up to a game 3 hours early to get that cheaply made jersey or hat. Keep up the classics. That's from Ben. Thanks for the email, Ben. Good call. Carhartt is something you earn.
You got to earn that Carhartt. You got to put some time in at the factory to get one of those. Maybe I do agree with that too. For me with this question, what's something you want to buy but feel like you haven't earned? I always want to buy like new running gear. It's fun to buy, obviously, just new gear, like clothes, like shorts or shirts or whatever, or hats even, or shoes, of course, like new running shoes. But my running game has fallen off a cliff as of late, so I refuse to do it. I haven't earned it. I got to get back out there, start putting in the miles again. And until I do that, you know, I'm not going to buy any new cool, slick Tracksmith stuff or some new Nikes or whatever. So that's where I'm at with this. You got to put some miles in out there to reward myself Otherwise, I'm just rolling with this old crap I got. But, yeah, I mean, look, I just, I don't even know what my excuse is. I think I'm working too much at the factory, if I'm being honest. So I gotta check out every once in a while. I gotta stop working overtime, get out on the roads. But I don't know. You guys have an answer, Trey?
I mean, if it sounds like for you, you gotta forget Tracksmith and get on your Carhartts.
That's right.
Working in the factory. What's more blue collar than making a podcast, you know?
That's right. Really, really don't do anything with your hands with it.
Pretty much everything. Every single occupation out there. Mm.
You think so?
I just broke a nail on my microphone.
If you tap too hard, it can be pretty dangerous in the factory. It's one of the biggest workman's comp hazards that we've got around here. I've got something similar to Ben. I don't think that I'm a leather jacket guy. I've always kind of wanted to wear a leather jacket, but similar to how Ben is saying that he doesn't think he can pull off Carhartt, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you don't think you can pull something off, you're not going to be able to pull it off. You need to wear the clothes. Don't let the clothes wear you.
Mm.
And for me, leather jackets, very cool. Incredibly cool. Lots of cool guys have worn them, but they're all like slick cool guys. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the Fonz.
Exactly. Who's cooler than the Fonz, I think Lee Ellis once said. The two coolest guys Lee Ellis has ever mentioned on the show are the Fonz and Stiles Stilinski. And if I'm not mistaken, Stiles also wore a leather jacket. I think that it's a tough thing to pull off, but leathers, man. Like if I had a motorcycle, surely I would have some leathers, but I think you gotta get the motorcycle first.
Yep.
I've got a nice leather, and I just can't put it on. It was bought for me. I think my mom bought it for me a long time ago. Great gift. It's, you know, a real leather jacket.
Yeah.
It's an expensive jacket. And I wore it when I was young, but I can't put it on again. But I can't throw it out either. It's just too nice. Leather jackets are real nice. But one day I'm going to put it on.
But what's your concern with wearing it now? Like, someone's going to be like, so what you riding? What's your hog? And you're going to be like, I don't know.
You talking about my hog?
Yeah, man.
No, it's just not wearing a leather jacket. It's like Trey was saying, I let it wear me, I guess.
I guess it's
kind of tough to pull off. Mm-hmm. But then you rock it and you feel freaking cool. You feel like Fonz. You feel like Styles. You can feel, I think Lee likes David Beckham. I mean, David Beckham could easily.
Leather jacket.
Yeah, he can wear anything.
David Beckham could wear a tea towel and he'd look awesome out there. I mean, that's just the way he is. He's just got that style and charisma.
Where would he wear a tea towel? On his hog?
I mean, it wouldn't matter which tea towel he wore or where he wore it. It'd just look, yeah, that's cool. That's fine.
Well, what about you, Lee? What's your answer for that?
Well, actually, sort of similar to you there, because I saw Dee Brown is releasing the Omni Lights again, the pumps that he won the slam dunk contest with. And I've got far too many basketball shoes in my house. But, you know, under normal circumstances, you can say, well, I can justify it because I need these shoes for something. But now there's no real reason why I need a new pair of the Brown basketball Omni pumps.
I thought you have a pair.
Yeah, I do. But they're not the exact ones that he's re-releasing. So I'm kind of like, I just kind of want them. You know, I had a pair when I was a kid. And now that he's re-releasing them, they'll probably be, you know, $180 or something, that money that I don't need to spend on shoes that I'll barely wear. But if I see them, if it just comes across my timeline and they're like, they're for sale, grab a pair. I'm like, yeah, click, 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 boom, done. Mm. I'll do it. But
the pumps were called they're called the Omnis? Is that what they were called?
Omni Lights, I believe they were called. Yeah, the OG ones.
What's funny is that I also am reluctant to pull the trigger on some Omnis, the New Balance Omnis. Fiesta colors that are awesome.
They do look cool.
The Spurs are wearing, but I'm the same. I mean, I'm not out there on the court. I'm not punching the clock like I'm one of Jim Boylan's boys. So it's hard to pull the trigger on these things. You know, it's just like, I don't need
when you're not playing even basketball once a week or once every 2 weeks. Yeah, it's like, why do I need new shoes? You don't.
For the fashion? No, you don't.
For the fashion, where the hell are you going to show them off? I mean, I can't even see your
pulling
feet
out the trash, you know? Take a look at these.
Look at this guy.
Wow, look at this guy.
What's up, neighbor? Stunning. You like my Fiesta color? Are you a big Sean Elliott guy? Look at these.
Throw on your leather jacket.
Whoa. Hey, there's the man. There's the man.
Very cool. What up, dick nose?
So the boss says I got to pick up a keg of beer.
Oh, God. Okay. Our next question. Hey, guys. A few years ago, Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons had a bit of a beef. Oh, my God. We've talked so much beef and hogs and everything in this one. So they had a little bit of a beef over who was Rookie of the Year. And at the time, it seemed unanimous that if you were to start a franchise with one of those guys, it would be Ben Simmons. I think that's probably fair to say at the time of this, the Rookie of the Year beef. Remember we had a bunch of, who wore the t-shirt? Was it Donovan Mitchell?
Donovan
right?
Mitchell,
yeah.
Yeah,
right.
The rookie t-shirt.
Yes. Fast forward, the email continues, fast forward to today, and I don't think that would be the case. So the question is, who would you pick to start your franchise with now? Ben Simmons? Or Donovan Mitchell. Love the show. This is from Kevin in Mississauga. Tass, do you know Kevin?
Oh, for sure. Right? Yeah, we go okay. way back. Yeah, we played basketball together with our two dads and our six brothers.
Big Kevy.
Kevy in the post. Rocket Kevy. He was wearing the Omni lights. No. This is a tough question, Kevin. Mm. It has become a very difficult question. I agree. Years ago, Ben Simmons, landslide. But Donovan Mitchell has expanded his game. He's become incredible. But you left an out in the question. Who would you pick to start your franchise with? I would pick Ben Simmons because it's difficult to build around Ben Simmons. But if you can pick him first, you can make a team around Ben Simmons. Well, Donovan Mitchell, you can just add him to any team and it'll work. Ben Simmons, you need a special team around him. And I think Ben Simmons, he still hasn't reached his ceiling. We saw him the other night, 42-point game where he was dominating against the Jazz on the inside. And he says he's been working on the mental part of his game. He says that's where he's growing. So I don't think we've seen the best of Ben Simmons quite yet. And he's so special on the other end of the floor. I think you need a certain type of team around Ben Simmons, but I'm looking forward to that ceiling. I mean, now we know that he's a power forward, essentially, or a point forward, whatever you want to call him. He's not a point guard in the traditional sense. I mean, positions are stupid. But he doesn't hit threes. He is now being a screener and a roller, and he's an incredible defender. And you can't go wrong with either of these guys because Donovan Mitchell, you could easily build a team around too. But Ben Simmons, I think we're still waiting for the best Ben Simmons. Plus, he's such a great defender. Man, this is
tough. You're sort of still ultimately sticking with Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I'm just a believer. Like right today, if I want to win a game, probably like a series, probably Donovan Mitchell. But, you know, both sides of the ball do count a little bit sometimes. Yeah. If you're trying to win a game and you're trying to win a series, and again, yeah, we saw without Joel Embiid in the lineup the other day against the Jazz, Ben Simmons was godlike, and he had the lane to penetrate. And see, if I know my team, I'm not putting in a Joel Embiid type with Ben Simmons, even though Daryl Morey's done a good job putting shooters around him. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm building. I know what I'm building, Kev. You know, I'm not going to build that team that we used to play on, me, you, or bros, or dads. I mean, that wasn't working, you know? If I knew your dad was going to be on the team, I'd build a different team. Kev's dad from Mississauga. We used to play at Square One. Of course. Yeah, we'd go to Earl's after the game. Talk about our hogs and our leather jackets. I'm kidding. I don't know, Kevin. And this is just a tough one. Where do you guys go?
Well, yeah, this question to me, it's like almost the equivalent. It says something about you, how you answer this, Trey. It's like, what do you prefer, Pepsi or Coke? And like your answer tells me all I need to know about you when you tell me whatever it is. So like same thing with this in a weird way. Simmons, like, are you going with what Tass is saying? You still see obviously the potential of him to bring it on both ends and go next level. Or Mitchell, who's become better and better and better and this still probably hasn't hit his ceiling yet. Where are you going, Trey?
Well, I prefer Coke, Skeets.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I'll start with that. Actually. You know, description-wise, I think Tass 100% nailed it, but I almost come down on the other side of it just because Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons, impact-wise, upside-wise, I think they're both very similar to the same level right now, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you're seeing Donovan Mitchell get better every single season. You're seeing Ben Simmons grow into becoming a little bit more of a scorer recently. We've seen in the past when Embiid was out, they won 13 games straight at the end of a season, right? Like this shooters and defense around Ben is going to work, but we haven't got to see it for an extended season. And you just got to really trust yourself if you're a GM. You got to believe you're a true man of genius to be able to build a team around Ben Simmons because it's going to be a little bit trickier. Whereas Mitchell, there are other Mitchell types around the league. whether it be Steph Curry or Trae Young, scoring guards who are also solid distributors who you can build your offense around. And, you know, for me, I do consider myself a true man of genius, but I'm also an idiot when it comes to basketball. So if you were going to tell me, hey, you're a GM, I'm saying, give me the guy who looks like all the other guys out there right now. Give me Donovan Mitchell. He's contributing defensively. He's not on Simmons's level as a defender. Ben Simmons is a defensive player of the year candidate, whereas Donovan Mitchell's just a solid defender at this part of a good team defense, obviously, with the Jazz. I think it just is a little bit simpler to build around Donovan Mitchell. And as a simpleton, I think that's where I'm going. Though I do think that building around Simmons could certainly work. And, you know, ask me a year ago, I'm taking Bembo.
What do you think, Lele? This is a great question.
It is a great question because Simmons has such a weakness in his terms of shooting the ball, which Donovan is great. And you know, if the game's on the line and one of them's got the ball in their hands, it's a tie game, who would you rather have to make the play? I mean, you'd probably take Donovan Mitchell because he can hit that shot, and Simmons, maybe he can, maybe he can't. He's just not as confident like that.
Yeah.
But Simmons defensively, his height, his athleticism, his speed, all those things, I think he has an advantage over Donovan. But Donovan can score 50 a little bit easier than Simmons can.
Jam them together.
Yeah. If we see more of the Ben Simmons we saw the other night against Utah, then I think Simmons runs away with it here because he's aggressive, scoring, effective. Again, you don't have to have that three-pointer. You just have to make it so that the defenders can't stop you, and they couldn't stop him the other night. But we've seen too many times as well where Ben Simmons will just have a 3-for-5 game, which is just – you need more from that, from your guy, from your franchise guy. So if he can improve that, but then again, Donovan Mitchell, I mean, if he can improve his defense, then maybe he just becomes an all-round better player as well. So it is a great question. They're very different, but they're also very the same in how impactful they can be. I probably lean slightly towards Ben Simmons today, but it's very, very close.
To start the franchise with? Well, yeah. I think I'm going to split this up. I think I lean towards Mitchell, but you guys are making great cases for both of them here. Let me ask you, Lee, Gene Simmons or Joni Mitchell?
Oh, Gene. I saw Gene Simmons at the Air Canada Centre a couple of years ago. They put on a show. You want to talk about a band putting on a show?
There we go.
He was breathing fire on stage there, Gene Simmons. I mean, that's what you want from your band. It's, Watch Kiss. If you get a chance to see Kiss, go and see them for sure.
Okay, Kiss.
Watch Kiss.
All right.
Yeah. That's why I always watch those challenge shows. You know, the next challenge show where guys are like swallowing swords and stuff because they're breathing fire. I mean, that's what you want in a show. Guys who breathe fire for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it lost a little bit of its edge because a guy came out quickly with a rag and sort of put it around the fire like that and took it out because it's one of those things you went like that and the big flame came out. But still, I'm telling you, they put on a show.
Cool. All right. Well, let's hear from you guys in the stream team with that one. Starting a franchise right now, are you going Ben Simmons or Donovan Mitchell? I'm fascinated. We got to make that a poll. We'll do that.
It's already up, baby. Check our YouTube page.
Incredible stuff. I'm interested to see. I think people would lean towards Mitchell, if I'm being honest. I think the ultimate vote will side with him. But I mean, 60-40, I think, is where it's going to end. But get your votes in. Okay.
Totally. People don't respect defense like they used to, you know? I agree. It would be Donovan Mitchell.
Well, with Mitchell, I mean, there are like those variants, right? Like the big swings. You can get an 8-for-30 Mitchell game, right? I mean, that happens with those type of guards. He's just, you know, doesn't have the three ball falling that day, whatever, the shot's not dropping. But then you get like those, as we saw in the bubble, like, you know, hitting 20 out of 30 shots and seven of them are threes, and he's like completely like dominating the game. Sort of unlike a Ben Simmons has ever showed he can, at least offensively. I know he has that impact defensively, but like that is pretty special. And at his age, and again, if we talked about like the guy's appears to be a gym rat and just wants to get better and better and better. So that's why I lean towards him, but I get that's it too. Fair. I mean, the defense is, it's important.
That's
but,
fair. I mean, Ben also has some single digit scoring games and doesn't show up entirely. Mitchell's having far less of those disappearing act type games.
Yeah,
they're both getting better here.
Yeah.
They're both getting a lot better. Kevin from Mississauga, my Saga bro. Oh, what a question.
What
respect.
A question.
Respect to the sixth biggest city in Canada. Maybe it's the seventh. I don't know. Moving on here. My now ex-girlfriend decided to move 1,000 miles away to be with her ex-husband. Oof.
Whoa.
Sorry to hear that. That was a turn.
What?
That was a turn. Few things make me happy these days, as you can imagine, but a beach stepping question would do wonders. Listen, I wanted to, I wanted to include this question sure. because I think Sean, the emailer here, deserves to have his question read. I felt something when I read this question. So what's something you've lost that you never thought you would be without? Turnips. We just had a tattoo turnip. Brownies. Turnips. Basket fries. Thank you. That's from Sean. So, Lee, something you never thought you'd be without.
Well, you guys remember when we were at NBA TV and Dickie sent over all my old posters and stuff for the wall and for, you know, decorating our set. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago now, I decided I was going to set myself a little goal of trying to get every member of the Dream Team to sort of sign something of ours and send it back to the set. And so I tapped into a few of our contacts, one in Chicago and one in San Antonio, and I sent them out a poster, one of Scottie Pippen and one of David Robinson, a Hoop magazine poster that I'd had for 30 years, kept in immaculate condition by my dad, hoping our two contacts might be able to come through there. And both of them were like, yeah, gotcha, no worries. Never came through, and I've never seen those posters again.
Oh, man, both of them?
Yeah, I know, it was tough.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, they might still have them somewhere, but... yeah, I mean, those Hoop magazine posters are pretty dear to me when I got them back, and then I just lost them forever. I mean, Dad kept them in perfect condition. Oh, I have them for 5 minutes, and boom, they're gone.
Oh, jeez, that sucks. How many did you end up getting autographs from the Dream Team?
One. And
Christian Leitner.
Yeah, no. And
spelled my name wrong. Spelled with 2 L-E-E. No.
And there's a bit of a story to that one too. It was Carl Malone of all people. Yeah. I got in touch with his wife, and so I sent him a Hoop magazine poster, and as a thank you, I sent him a Starters T-shirt. Mm-hmm. He signed the Starters T-shirt and sent back the poster and the T-shirt.
I do remember you telling us that.
That's good.
I mean, at least he sent it back. I mean, I guess when your nickname's the mailman, you do have to deliver on.
Yeah, I mean, I just was like, why would you sign the T-shirt though, not the poster? I mean,
why would you send me a T-shirt?
Well, because I'd been communicating with his wife. I'm saying this is a like as a thank you, have a T-shirt. You know, hopefully maybe he'd get a photo with the poster, sign it. Anyway, one for 12.
So you're telling me from your big plans to get every Dream Team member to sign, we have a signed Starters T-shirt from Karl Malone.
Yeah, somewhere. I don't know where that is anymore.
I don't even know where it is.
I mean, I knew there was a couple that were going to be tough. Michael, Magic, Larry. You know, we work with Charles. I thought that one would be fairly easy. To be honest, I didn't really want Leitner. I was going to go 11 for 12.
Oh, wow. That would be the one we could have gotten, man. Yeah,
no, he probably would have come on the show, would have done an interview, done everything. But anyway, there you go. All sometimes right. You miss.
Hey, look. I hope somebody else is enjoying those Hoop magazine posters that you held on to for so dearly. That sucks. I can't believe both of them didn't make it back to you.
Yeah, me too.
Trey, you got an answer for this one?
Lee actually reminded me of something from when I was young. Sports Illustrated for Kids would always put the address of the team for whichever player they were profiling. You know, like I got a Carlos Valderrama autograph once upon a time. Shout out to Carlos Valderrama. I lost that, unfortunately. We'll never get it back. But the one regret I really have from that is that Deion Sanders was like one of my favorite guys back in the day. One of my favorite athletes. I, like Lee, I sent him a bandana to sign and send back.
Oh.
Never got it back.
Oh.
Come on. Come
on,
buddy.
What is going on with these guys?
And look, I never saw him wear it on the field either, so he wasn't using it. Give me back my bandana. It was vintage. I would love to have it these days.
Do you think he possibly turned it into a Lee Ellis hanky?
What a thrill.
Biggest
that would
sign
be.
Of disrespect.
Oh.
Mail him something, he turns it into a snot rag. Not prime time.
I don't know if that's disrespectful. I think that's like he's always keeping you close by. So look at this guy. He sent me a handkerchief. As a sign of respect, I'm going to use this handkerchief.
Okay, you changed my mind. I like to. Now I think that Deion Sanders has been carrying that in his back pocket for 25 years.
Possibly. Blowing
Could Deion Sanders play basketball? Did anyone, you know, was he a good pickup player? Do we know?
I would guess he was one of the best pickup players in any game he played.
Hmm.
I don't know anything if that's the case, but the man was a professional athlete in two different sports. I imagine he can figure out basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How big
I mean,
was
you've
he?
Already said you could beat Tiger Woods one-on-one. You think you could take Deion too, Lily?
I mean, I haven't seen him play, so,
yeah,
you know.
I haven't either. I'm leaning towards
6'1",
you know,
they
here.
Say?
What's that?
6'1".
Is that that's all he was?
Size as Tiger?
Oh, I thought he was a bit taller.
Who, Tiger or Dion are we talking about?
Well, Dion is almost the same size as Tiger. So both of them. All right, here's some things. Charity basketball game. Deion Sanders, 1991. Deion Sanders almost played in the NBA with the Atlanta Hawks. I don't know how factoidal that is. But, I mean, the guy was a quarterback in high school, and he became the greatest cornerback in NFL history. Seems like he probably has good hand-eye coordination.
Yeah. I think he could have figured it out.
He was in Rock and Jock, Greg Sinnott says. That's where you show your skills, Rock and Jock. If he hit a 25-pointer, you know he's good.
Terrell Owens was a pretty good basketball. I think I remember seeing him put up some buckets in the celebrity game.
He did, yeah. Didn't he dunk, I think?
Mm-hmm. Did he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he played at some point.
Tass, do you have something you've lost that you never thought you'd use
My answer to this question? No, I think I answered this a few weeks ago with my athleticism. I mean, it's a very similar question, I think. Mm-hmm. Something that I didn't have. So maybe I shouldn't have included it, but we got a great answers from you guys. So I'm glad we did, but yeah, it is my athleticism. There's no doubt. I mean, did I ever have it? I don't know, but, I'll find it again. I got to find it again when I move. I think I packed it somewhere. I'm moving soon. It's deep in a box. Going to find it. Going
to
find it.
You just need to buy yourself a brand new pair of shoes to unlock that athleticism again.
Maybe
it's in the shoes.
That's it. Hey, do you get in shape when you buy the gear or do you get in shape and then get the gear?
That's the question.
Huge that conundrum. Yep. Listen, when it gets warm again, everybody stay warm. That's when my juices get flowing. Mm. You know, that's when I get out there and I feel the tarmac underneath my feet and I really get going. Yeah, get out there on gridiron. Battle with Deion Sanders. Okay.
Moving on. Next one. I don't really have a good answer for that one. I actually, besides my innocence, I don't lose a lot of things. Like I honestly don't mean to humble brag, but I just do not lose things because of my, you know, OCD, and I know where everything is at all times. And but I mean the problem with that is if it's not there for like 1 minute, I freak out because I'm like, I left it there. Where is it? And it's like, okay, relax. But yeah, I can't really think of any. I mean, things have been stolen from me, but that's not really losing it, is it, Lily? Had my watch stolen from the YMCA back in Stratford. Had my bike stolen. I've told that story before. Not happy about that. Right out of my backyard. God.
You have the starter's flag still? You know where that is?
I think it's in JD's house.
Oh, is it?
In a box at JD's place. Okay. JD, I don't know if you're still listening, but.
Yeah, it's here somewhere.
Yeah, it's there. That we got to take care of that. I'll come get that, JD.
It's got more autographs than Lee's shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, JD. Yeah, you don't trust JD to hold on to it?
It's not that I don't trust JD, but like he's possibly looking to sell his house a box to get left behind.
Just
stick
it on eBay. Yeah, why not? You know, all these great autographs of Hall of Famers, legends.
Here's the thing. If you come get the flag, you have to get all of it. All of it has to go.
Yeah, not that interested in some of those dumb costumes that you've got in boxes. I'll think it over, though.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, next one here. Good morning/afternoon. I would first like to say I'm a huge fan of the show and never miss an episode on Apple Podcasts. I listen to you guys every day on my way to school or work and any other time I get the chance. I'm also a huge Celtics fan and a Beantown girl, one might say. So obviously I'm over the moon about the recognition Jaylen Brown is finally getting as a star and the really strong young core we've established with Brown and Tatum. Earlier in the season, it was mentioned that Tatum could be a dark horse MVP candidate. I think he could easily be an MVP caliber player, but my question is, do you guys think that because Brown is now putting up similar numbers to Tatum, that it's going to be nearly impossible for like Tatum to get any MVP love because of how equally spread the offense is between them? Much love. That's from Grace. She's a Beantown girl from Boston. Another great question here. I mean, our silly questions we love, but our basketball questions we also enjoy. Like that Mitchell Simmons one. This one, Tass, does Grace have a point here? Like, Brown is playing so well. Does it, like, they cancel each other out in some way for potential MVP?
No, I don't think so. It's a very good question, but I think we're sort of caught in the moment here. Jaylen Brown's having a great, great season, and Jason Tatum just hasn't been playing because of COVID protocol, so he hasn't been around. But I think it just helps to have a guy who's just as good. I think it just helps your MVP case because it just propels you up in the standings, mm-hmm. and that's what it really comes down to. Teams have to be really good for a guy to win MVP. So if they're up higher in the standings, don't you guys just think that Tatum would get more recognition? I know it's sort of an even balance right now. In this moment, Jaylen Brown has had just as good a season, but better than Jason Tatum because he's been playing. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're playing full 82 games, I think Tatum would get the recognition and just get more of it because they're good. I think what are we looking at here in terms of a historical perspective? You know, Steph Curry and Kevin Durant kind of thing, like mm-hmm. two guys who are really, really, really good but would take votes away from each other. I think the media just establishes one guy is the better guy and gives it to him. And it would probably be Tatum when it comes down to it for me. Although, you know, Brown is obviously absolutely incredible. I think if they played a full season, I think there's no need to worry, Grace. I think Tatum would get it, and he would be an MVP candidate if he played. The Celtics would have to be better, but
yeah,
I think they would be better.
What do you think, Trey?
Yeah, I think Tass is exactly right. The rising tide lift all boats, as they're saying in the stream team, because if your team is good, if your team is the best team in the league, you can win MVP no matter who is on your team, unless you are the Warriors and you're Curry and Durant, and people just don't want to give it to you because they think it's too easy. But go back a little further. LeBron James won back-to-back MVPs with the Heat. He was playing with Dwayne Wade, a Hall of Famer, a guy who could get his own MVP votes. Chris Bosh, another Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Keep going back. You can see Kobe won one. Didn't have anybody alongside of him. Shaq won one with Kobe, right? Like, you can easily win an MVP with another all-star Hall of Famer alongside you because your team is winning. As long as you're still the number one guy, you're going to do it. I guess that could be a little bit of a question.
Yeah, yeah.
Will Jaylen Brown ever pass Jason Tatum? I don't know. I think it's more of a toss-up now than it has ever been with the way Jaylen Brown improves every single year, but certainly Tatum seems to be at least the 1A right now to Brown's 1B. And as long as he stays as the 1A and the Celtics are able to get back into the championship contending picture, that's MVP case right there.
Right. Can Tatum be the MJ? And Brown is obviously then the Scottie Pippen Lee, you would think. I mean, it also, let's be honest, it comes down to like tie game. Who is taking the shot? I mean, who, more times than not, who are you going to be giving the ball to? I would still think right now, despite how improved he's shown us, that it would still go to Tatum over Brown, right? In that instance, I would think so.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this as Tatum's team in that sense. Like, Tatum is the number one, and Brown is he's the Pippen on that team there. Yeah. And just going back through history, teammates who have finished in the top five in MVP voting, 2015-16, Westbrook fourth, Durant fifth, 2002-2003, Kobe third, Shaq fifth, 2001-2002, Shaq third, Kobe fifth. And then 95, 96, Jordan first and Pippen fifth. So, you know, you can get there, although it is rare, other than Jordan. I can't see anyone else, unless you go back to Kareem and Willis Reed and those guys, who's actually won it and his teammates finished in the top five. But
right.
The good thing is these guys have got similar games. They play a similar way, but they don't seem to get in each other's way. And they certainly don't seem to be in a little bit of a tug of war as to whose team it is. I think they get along really well. I think they've got great chemistry. And I think that's the thing for the Celtics. I don't think there's any, like, in a sort of fight there to see who really is the number one guy there, and they work well. So bright future with those two there. Everyone else you put around them, I think, is going to sort of fall in behind. So Brown has definitely improved a lot this season, but Jason Tatum, before he did miss time with the coronavirus, I think he was in that MVP conversation. And he said just the other day, maybe before last night's game, he said he's still feeling some of the effects of that. He gets tired more easily, more fatigued. So, and that does sort of, if you look at the way he's played lately, he certainly hasn't been at that same level. So maybe he's finding his feet a little bit and just getting his win back. But yeah, both great players. And I ultimately think that if you're winning, they both do get their recognition.
Okay. Great question, Grace. We got one more.
Yeah. Hey, No Dunks. I recently came across an outdoor court near me and had such a strong desire to ball. There were way too many people there during the day, though, so my girlfriend and I decided to hit the court at early dawn. Crazy enough, we got a horse game, just like my throat is. One second here.
See? This is tough work being a podcaster.
Yeah, very hard. Very hard. Crazy enough, we got a horse game in. My horse throat is very clear now. And it felt so good. Even crazier, my girlfriend hit a legendary horse wedgie.
Oh.
An accomplishment I have only dreamed of experiencing over the course of the year of no basketball. And you're seeing it now if you're with us in the stream team. A very, very dark wedgie because it's at dawn. So thanks for sending this one in. When have you felt one up by your significant other in something you have more experience in? Sincerely, Amaya and Sylvia in Atlanta. Trey, what's your answer for this one?
Mine's horse related as well. I've never beat Laura in horse. We've been together now almost 13 years. We've played a lot of times. She has a hoop outside of her parents' house. We always play when we go back. And, you know, I still play pickup basketball, you know, prior to the pandemic. I would play every single week. I would play multiple times a week back when we first got together. And every time we would go play at her parents' house, she would beat me every single time. Every single time. It's quite similar to every time we would play horse in the cage with Skeets and Lee. I would lose every single time. And I know what you're thinking. A knockdown shooter like myself should be able to take a game off of whether it be Skeets or Lee or Laura, but no, because I don't have the focus for a whole game of horse. Maybe Pig would be better for me, but I'm trying dumb shots. I'm shooting the ball off the ground. I'm trying to bank it in off the top. Lee, he'll go shoot a free throw. Laura will shoot a bank shot. Laura will shoot a 17-footer and call a swish and knock it down. Meanwhile, I'm spending every one of my challenge shots trying to bounce it in off the glass. It never goes in, so she gets a shot. Knocks down the 17-footer she's been shooting for 20 years. I don't practice 17-footers. I play an efficient game. No long twos. So this is completely virgin to me, taking a 17-footer. It's a brick. I'm racking up numbers, racking up letters. Next thing you know, I got horse. We play Farmer's Chance. I miss again. And she gets another W. Sucks.
Wasn't she a beautiful rebounder of the ball in her day, too?
She was a beautiful rebounder of the ball, indeed.
Mm-hmm. She led her to school, didn't she, in rebound? I think you've told me before.
That's right, Lee. That's right, Lee. Yeah. She's great at boxing out, too, Lee. I didn't want to mention it. She's really the rebound lover in this family. She's the one that wears a Horace Grant shirt or a Dennis Rodman shirt around here. I'm wearing Michael Jordan. I'm trying to be the star. She's doing the dirty work, and that's why she gets the wins when we actually go against each other in basketball matchups.
Yeah. She just plays the fundamental horse game. I mean, that's why playing Lee is infuriating, too. Exactly. Let's be honest. Like, I like to think, tell me if I'm wrong, Trey, I mix it up, right? I know when I got to just take a jumper or a free throw to maybe get one, get a cheap one, get an easy one, but I'm trying those crazy over-the-backboard shots, what you're doing out there, shooting from half court. Lee Ellis is just like free throw after free throw after like left-handed layup. You're like, what are we doing here? But it gets you a lot of victories, that just slow and steady boring ass horse game. But I think it sounds like, yeah, Laura plays a similar game, just knock down that little jumper and you can rack up a lot of letters. Gets works for you guys.
So what's a farmer's challenge, Dre?
Yeah,
or the farmer's
chance.
Chance,
farmer's
right.
Chance, if on an E, you know, say Laura makes the first shot, I miss on my attempt, so I get an E, but I get a farmer's chance. I get a second chance to make that last one. If I make it, I continue on with an S, waiting for her to give me another E eventually.
Okay, there you go.
It's like a coach's challenge almost.
It's similar to a coach's challenge, but it's also like, you can tell I grew up in the Midwest. We had something called a farmer's chance or a game called horse.
I'll go next here for this. For me, with Nora, a thing where I felt like one-upped by her in something that I do more or have more experience, quizzes. Like pub quizzes, for sure. You guys know. I mean, there was a good stretch there where we were going, you know, to the bar like, you know, once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks. This was when Matty O was living here. A lot of us would do it. You know, the team, the starters team at the time, we would all go out and have friends. And I went to almost all of them. And, you know, I'm fine. I'll chip in here. You know, we're getting a sports question. I'm pretty good. I might get a weird video game question. I can help out. Well, a lot of the time, I'm just like, yep, okay, American history, I'm turning towards Trey or, you know, our buddy Jared, something like that. I'm not helping all that much. I am not a smart man. But Nora comes in every once in a while. Like, she wouldn't come all the time. And, like, she just knows. She's just one of those people that just knows a lot about a lot. And it's really weird. And you're like, how do you know that? Like, and especially in the pop culture, like, realm. Like, that's her sweet spot. So she would just come in. And I'm just like, I'm like, I'll run it up, guys. You know, like, that's all I'm good for. Like, I'll run her answer up to the quiz master because I'm not helping at all. I'll do the, I got great penmanship, guys. You want me to write it down? I'm a pretty good speller. You don't need to tell me. Just tell me the answer and I'll write it down. So, yeah, Nora's good.
She's very good.
Random trivia. And we had put together a bit of a powerhouse team when it would be like, you know, TK, Nora would be in the mix. Jared's pretty good. JD, you're actually really solid. You're a bit older, so that helps. that's a compliment. That's a compliment. Because, you know, there's a bunch of young kids at these quizzes. They don't know what's going on in the 70s well, that's or 80s, true, yeah. JD.
I'm the history guy. Yeah, this 1970 to 1985, I got you.
Yeah. Oh, and Matty O with music and stuff like that. That's his. So, yeah, you guys had I was just there for the ride. I was just there for the beer, popcorn, and running it up to the quizmaster, getting my steps in.
Our sheets always looked great, though. Yeah, our sheets looked
good. Our sheets looked good. Yeah. I mean, I can help in some categories, but a lot of them, I'm just looking around at everybody. I don't know. I don't know who sang that song in 1989 and it went to number one in the UK only, you know? Like, Matt can sing you the lyrics to that song. Like, get the guitar, you know? Like,
sounds like it was Kim Wilde or someone like that.
Sure. So, a little love to Nora and her... Nora's like
the accordion Graydon Gordian. The accordion Graydon Gordian.
No,
there's too many eyes. The accordion Graydon Gordian. You open them up and you see what's inside of that accordion. There's a vast knowledge of a lot of topics.
It is good to have on a team too, for sure. Especially he knows his history. Yeah, you need your experts in all those Ophelia, like Trey and science and stuff like that. It's good. Man, you just that's the way to do it. It's a lot of fun. Man, I miss going out. I miss seeing you guys in person. one of these days.
Didn't we win the last trivia before Matt moved to LA?
That's damn right, yeah. Because we were always the bridesmaid. We were coming second. Always, like I felt like every time we went out, we could never win, but we did before Matt left. I think Matt says he still has that gift certificate.
He was very proud that maybe night. Maybe I have holding it.
Maybe I got it somewhere. Maybe I lost it. I lost something.
Hey!
I lost the, what was it? Elbert's gift certificate or something. Yeah. I don't know where we went.
No, it was the local. The local.
The local. Yeah.
Good call. Lee, you got an answer for this?
Yeah, so when I decided to start pursuing a career in sports media, I just started blogging. You know, Blogspot was the big thing back then. So my wife was very encouraging. She said, just start blogging. You just never quite know. And so I did. Right. Now, this was the first article I ever had published. Right.
How do you have a photo of you with your first blog?
Right, but
article?
This is on Real GM, right?
Okay.
So that was when I got one published. I was pretty excited. I was like, wow, I've had one published because I wrote a lot of articles and then I just emailed everyone I could possibly do and you know, you get like two bites back. And so I wrote one for Real GM and I was pretty excited. I was like, wow, I've actually, you know, it's published and I was excited.
Yeah. What was it about?
I think it was after the 2008 playoffs, the Spurs didn't repeat, and I did the old, are the Spurs done?
You were the first one.
Yeah, I think so, that's what it was. I don't think it exists on the website anymore. But anyway, I was super pumped. I was like, wow, there's the first little step. Because Real GM's still a pretty respectable site, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to get my article up, I was excited. At this same time, my wife, Roxana, was creating her own iPhone app.
My wife is Steve Jobs.
Because we used to live right near the underground path there in Toronto. And Roxana was like, this should be an app. This would be a great app. And so she would get up like, you know, first thing in the morning on weekends, sometimes on Thursdays and Fridays as well, and just walk around mapping the entire path, right? Building her own app. And the app
Hold on. Are you serious? I've never heard this story.
Yes, she created Map the Path for Toronto. And it was the day
on
she...
On her own?
On her own, yeah. No. She had to pay like a developer to actually put it together, but she was the one who did it all. And so on the day it launched, it took off. It really took off. And the next morning after it launched, I was walking over to the score.
Oh, Roxy!
And here she was on the 24-hour newspaper.
Daily.
Daily. On the front page. Now, the mayor at the time, I can't remember his name, actually, who the mayor was at the time, but the mayor's office of Toronto got a phone call from someone saying, oh, it's great, you've got this app, you know, what's the story? And he was like, I have no idea what this app is. I don't know what's going on. Roxana also went on CP24 on that tech show that they did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was on that. She was getting phone calls from news outlets asking her about it. A guy wanted to buy the data off her as well. Like, people went crazy for it. And yeah, and she was like, she's not the person who likes all that sort of attention. So when they called up and said, hey, we want to take a photo, want to do a little article, she was like, oh, I'm really nervous. And so I was just like, real GM, that's me. And here she is on the front page. The front page of the Daily in downtown Toronto.
I wish that was on the front page of the Daily. Local man writes blog post.
So yeah, she definitely won up to me, but I was very, very excited for her, very happy for her. And yeah, it was great.
Well, that's amazing. So what ended up, like, are you guys rich because of this path?
Unfortunately, we couldn't really get it quite off the ground, because once we got to that point, we really needed a big cash injection to take it to the next level, and we didn't quite have it at the time. And yeah, unfortunately, it didn't work out. But it was great. She had her own app, and yeah, it was fun. Yeah, it was amazing that day when you know, someone from the the mayor's office called her up and said, can you tell us about this app? And she was like, okay. Yeah, I just created it myself.
Yeah, she just, like, because she was getting lost in the path all the time and was like, we need an app. It is confusing down there. Yeah.
Basically, that was exactly what it was. And she had problems with the Wi-Fi down there as well, because, you know, it wouldn't pick it up. So her whole design, she just walked down, like, shop to shop to shop, drew it. Took her months to put it all together. And it came together. It was really good. I really wish we could have pursued it a little bit more and had the, you know, the money and the development and all that to put into it, because it was a great idea. I don't know if there's one now. There maybe probably is one there out there somewhere.
I would think so.
This was like 2009. So, you know, the iPhone and apps were still very much in their infancy at that point.
That's incredible. What a story.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Toronto, this is all underground. You know, you don't want to go outside in the winter, right? So all these paths lead from building to building, and they go through stores, and like it is a maze down there if you don't really know where you're going. I guess they have a lot of signage now, so they can point you in the right direction.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
I mean, we had the ideas of, like, you know, for the restaurants and stuff down there in the food court, you know,
right.
you get a discount if you use the app, and shops would have sales and promotions. So we had the idea of how it was going to make money, but I mean, you needed. Like sales team, PR team, we needed more developers as well. Like, the one guy did a great job, but he was just a guy who she just found on,
right.
I don't know, Reddit or somewhere. She said, hey, can you do this?
I think that Roxy asked you to help out, and you're like, sorry, I'm writing about the Spurs being done. Duncan looks washed. I got to get this out.
Yeah.
Did you try and get on Dragon's Den, the...
Did that even exist?
I don't think it was around then, but
no.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we should have.
Amazing. Great story. Well, I at least enjoyed that story. Maybe it's because I'm from Toronto, but I can't believe I've never heard that one. Tass, do you have anything, or JD?
Not anything that compares to that story, so I'll sit this one out. But, yeah. Man, I could see that on Dragon's Den. That sucks.
Yeah, man.
The shark, which is the original Shark Tank. American stole it.
I can't believe she actually walked it herself and drew it all out.
Pre-kids, and we live right there on the path. So she, like I say, she was up first thing on weekends and spent hours down there, like 3 or 4 hours down there a day, just walking around. And she had this vision. She was putting it together. I was like, what's an iPhone? I didn't even have an iPhone. I was like, what's that? She came back, and because it cost probably cost about 10 grand in total. And I was a bit like,
whoa.
Yeah, well, just the developer, that was what he was charging. And it was on the iPhone, and it didn't work on the Android for the first day or so.
Classic.
But yeah, but they fixed that up. But she was a celebrity there.
Tass couldn't use it. Tass was out on that when he had his Android. That doesn't work. I'm not using it. All right. Wow. What an ending to this. Learn something new every day with Lele and his stories. Incredible stuff. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. Keep your questions coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Email them in. You can leave your comments in the YouTube comments. You can tweet them in at NoDunksInc. Just to remind you again, you got What You Need to Know Thursday and Friday. You got The Daily Show, 10 a.m. Eastern, live on YouTube. And tomorrow night, Thursday night, happy hour. Everybody joining us? Or are you writing like book or something, Lee? Or what app are you developing with your family that you won't be able to attend? You said you're coming. You're drinking some wine, red wine, you said.
Yeah, I've got a little Cabernet. I'll pop it open.
JD, are you going to be drinking some wine tomorrow night during the happy hour?
Not wine, no. I got a beer lined up.
What's your tipple, JD?
I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'm not going to spoil it.
Wow.
It's something, it's off the grid for me.
Are you going something hoppy?
Oh, I don't know if it's hoppy.
You're not a big fan of the hops, are you?
I'm not. The IPAs give me a wicked headache. So, no.
Okay, so be careful, because we need you for Friday, man. Yeah,
it's never, nothing stops me, but yeah, you're right.
It's true. You are a machine.
It's
you
just, you know, whether I, like, it just makes it more unpleasant. It's how pleasant it's going to be for me or unpleasant, so.
Right. Okay, well, so that's fine. Happy hour tomorrow night. Tune in to see Lee drinking a glass of red wine and JD's surprise beer. Can't legit wait for that. Thanks so much for subscribing and liking and commenting on YouTube. Do the same on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. Leave us a rating. And we'll see you guys tomorrow with a bunch more classics. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, we're the real GMs here.
Embrace the day, people.
You could stay.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.